The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Megillah has been dedicated by our good friend Mr. Stephen and his wife Gila Israel, a charter member of our Daf Yomi Shi'ud, for the Hatzlacha of both sets of parents. And of course, their dear children. Hashem Yishmerem V'Hayim. And Be'ezrat Hashem, they should have continued success. Haslacha V'Harvacha V'Chol Ma'aseh Yedehem. This Masechet also has been dedicated by Stephen and his wife Le'ilu Nishmat Adel Bat Rosa and Le'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Adel. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden Hen V'chol Benot Israel Ashachvot Ammahen B'chol Rahamim V'Selichot V'Nomar Amen. Daf Chet. Today's daf is being studied Refuah Shelema Daniel Ben Rivka. Inna Refana Lo, Inna Refana Lo, Inna Refana Lo, Refuah Tanefesh for Taguf, Refuah Tokar Ba Lebo V'Chen Yinasum V'Nomar Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden Amen. We begin today's daf on Chet Amud Rishon, right on the top line, starting with the Mishnah. En ben amudar hana'a mechavero nemudar memenu ma'achal ela dirisat ha'regel vekelim she'en osim bahem ochel nefesh. There's a fellow, he's called a mudar hana'a. That's a person that makes a neder and he vows not to have hana'a from his friend. I vow not to have any pleasure, to derive any pleasure from so-and-so. So that's called, he's called a mudar hana'a. And there's another fellow that's mudar mimenu ma'akhal, where he says that I vow not to have any pleasure from my friend related to ma'akhal, related to food. So the first one is general, any hana'a whatsoever. Whereas the second guy is saying, no, the hana'a that I'm limiting myself to my friend is limited to ma'akhal. So what's the nafkamina between the two people that are making these nedarim? Ela dirisat haregel. Dirisat haregel, which means, would I be allowed to walk through the guy's house? So according to the first opinion, the first person that made a mudar hana'a, that's hana'a, bottom line, you're walking through the guy's house. So it'll be asur. According to the second one that only vowed food pleasure, walking through the guy's house, dirisat haregel is not considered a food stuff. So that would be one nafkamina. The kelim she'en osim bahem ochel nefesh. The second afkamina would be, I want to borrow a vessel that's got not related to food. I want to borrow his plow. So according to the first person that says mudar hana'a, bottom line, we're getting hana'a, I'm borrowing his plow. I'm borrowing a vessel. However, according to the second shita, a plow's got nothing to do with food. And if we'd be allowed to borrow it, even though you're having hana'a from the plow, because it's not considered, so that's the nafkamina. Now it should be pointed out that it's only talking about a place where they lend out plows for free. But let's say the normal custom is that they rent out plows. And this guy is giving you the plow for free. So now what you're really doing is by him lending it to you, you're saving, let's say you're saving money. That's considered hana'at ma'akhal. Because with that extra money you have in your pocket, you can buy food. So therefore, he benefited you ma'akal indirectly. Again, if it's a place where the custom is to rent out plows for money, and you borrowed it from the guy, gave it to you for free, so you saved your $5. Now you have $500 in your pocket. When you go to the supermarket now, you can buy $500 of food. It was considered hana'at ma'akal. Now, it should be pointed out that a vessel that is made for food stuff, which means, let's say, a kneading bowl and things like that, would be asur. Because just like food is considered ochel ma'akal, so to a keli that's used to prepare food is also considered ma'akal. That's just what speaks out on the top. Now let's get to the Gemara. Ha le'anyan kelim she'osim bahem ochel nefesh ze vaze shavim. Which is clear what we just said. That kelim that they make ochel nefesh ze vaze shavim. Let's say a kneading bowl, like I told you, or a fork or a knife, etc., like that. So it doesn't matter. According to the hana'a one, it's a sub hana'a, because she made it mudar hana'a. According to the ma'akhal, this is considered ma'akhal. Comes the Gemara and says, dirisat haregel, you're telling me that I can't walk into the guy's house? I mean, dirisat haregel literally means the treading of the feet. She's walking into his house. So the Gemara says, "Halo kafte inche." People are not makpid on that. But she's, how can you call that a hana'a? Do you allow me to walk in his house? That's considered a hana'a. That's not considered a hana'a. But most people are not makpid on that. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabba, Amari Rabbi Eli Ezed, Amar Vitur." Even something that a person is mevater on, usually he doesn't care about. Nah, you walk in my house, I don't care about that. That's not, he doesn't even consider giving him something, giving his friend something when he lets him walk into his house. Doesn't matter. This opinion holds that even vitur, even letting a person do something that even though he thinks is insignificant, doesn't matter. For mudarana'ah, that's going to be considered asur. We'll go to the next mishnah. En ben nedarim le nedabot, ela shenedarim hayav bahariyutan. If you noticed, we're now in the section of the Gemara of the end bins, where the Gemara now, every Mishnah is giving us a difference between two different items. So now we discuss Nedarim and Nedavot. Nedar is a person that makes a vow. A vow on me, I'm going to bring a Korban to the Beit HaMikdash. Nedava also is a form of pledge that a person makes that is going to bring a certain Korban also to the Beit HaMikdash. So what's the difference between a person that makes a Nedar, which is a vow, or Nedava, which is a donation? So the Mishnah says, "Nedarim hayav bahariyutan." You're responsible for them, which means if something happens to the animal that you made a nedir, you have to bring it. You are responsible to replace it. However, when it comes to a nedaba, it's specifically that animal. If something happens to that animal, you do not have to replace it. Now, the Gemara will explain. Well, let's, from the Mishnah, we see that what? That the only difference is Hayab Bahariyutan or not Hayab Bahariyutan. But regarding the law of Bal Ta'akhir, they're the same. What is the law of Bal Ta'akhir? We learned in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, different she taught. But basically the theme is that after a certain time, if a person doesn't make good on his pledge, on his neder or nedaba, he gets isur. You're not allowed to delay the sacrifice. You have to bring it by a certain time. So regarding Bal Ta'akhir, neder and nedaba are equal. Tanatam, we have a Mishnah. Ezui neder. What's considered a neder? Ha'omer harei alai ola. He says it's on me to bring an ola. Ezui nedaba. Ha'omer harei zu ola. Where you're specifying and saying this animal right over here, this is an ola. Ma ben nedarim nedabot. Nedarim metu unigdemu o avdu. If by neder the animal died or got stolen or got lost, hayab bahariyutan. You have to replace it. Why? Because you didn't say harizu, you said hari alai, it's on me. So therefore it's still on you. Even though this animal died, the hayuv is still on you. Nedavot, however, metu, onignebu, or avdu, by nedava, if the animal died, or was stolen, or got lost, enu hayab bahariyutan, you don't have to replace it. Why? Because you said harizu, this one. I didn't commit myself to any animal, I want specifically that one as a nedava. It died. I'm off the hook. It's finished. I'm not hayav bahariyutan. That's the difference between neder and nedaba. Mina nemide. So the Gemara now wants to know, how do you know this concept? So the Gemara says, "Detaron abayus of a brayta, v'nirtza lo lechaper alav." It says, "V'nirtza lo, it'll be accepted. Your sacrifice will be accepted, and you will get atonement." Bishem on omer et she alav hayav bahariyuto. When the pasuk says, "V'nirtza lo lechaper alav." So the learning alav, this is talking about a neder, because it's on you, alav. So when do you get kapara? Dafka when you brought it. V'nirtza lo lechaper alav. V'et she'enu alav, enu hayav bahariyuto. Which is the pasuk is telling you, you want kapara? V'nirtza lo, you have to bring it. But I lost the animal, I'll bring another one. So any korban that's alav, that's on him, what does it mean on him? The animal's not on him, and the responsibility is on him, then already the only way you get kapara is what? You gotta bring it. The animal got lost, gotta replace it. However, the animal that's not on him, meaning he didn't make a nidir, enu chayav bahariyuto. So the Gemara says, "Me'im mashma." Where is it mashma that the word alav is a nidir? Because it says, "Venitzal l'chaper alav," the one that's alav. Where is that word alav mashma that it's a nidir? So the Gemara says, "Amar b'Yitzchak bar Avdimi kevan de amar alai." When he says the word hare alai, it's like it's on his shoulders, which means it's on me, which means the responsibility, it's on you, which is as if it's on your shoulders, you have the responsibility, it never goes off you until you release yourself of it by bringing a korban. So, alav is a shon neder. That's the Gemara. How do you know alav is a shon neder? It's keman the ta'in and kafe. It's like he puts a load on him. The responsibility is on him. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. We discuss a Zav. Zav is somebody that has a Tum'ah that comes out of his body. Okay, it can happen to a man, it can happen to a lady. Our Mishnah is talking about over here a Zav, which is a man. Sometimes a Zav can see twice. Sometimes a Zav sees three times. There is enough Kamina between a Zav that sees twice or three times. What's enough Kamina? Mishnah. In Ben Zav, Haro'esh Tere'iyot, Lero'esh Shalosh, Ela Korban. Which means, the only difference between a Zav that saw twice, or a Zav that saw three times, is a Korban. Rashi, Shtere'iyot, Biyom Ehad. Even if he saw, let's say, twice in one day. Or Bishnei Yemim Ritzufim. Or he saw two consecutive days. V'chein, Shalosh Biyom Ehad, or three in one day. Or b'shloshay mimin sufim, or three consecutive days. Or shtayim b'yom echad v'had l'mahar. Or two today, and one tomorrow. So the only difference is that the guy who saw three times, at the end of the process, he has to bring a korban. Whereas the one that saw twice does not have to bring a korban. But everything else, they're equal. What is everything else? So the Gemara says, ha le'anyam mishkav u'moshav. Well, the first law is mishkav u'moshav. That means anything a zav sits on or lies on becomes like him. In av hatum'ah. He's an avatumah, and he transfers avatumah to his mushkav moshav. That means even if he's not sitting on 10 mattresses, doesn't matter. He puts his weight on the top one, or even the bottom one becomes avatumah, and whatever he sits on as well. Usfirah shiva. The zav has to count zayin nikiim. Before he can go to the mikveh, he has to count 7 clean days that he doesn't see any emission. Okay, so that doesn't matter whether you're a 2 or you're a 3. That's the same. Mishkav and Moshav is the same, and Zaynikim is the same. Zeh vezeh shavim. Huh? That's called the, it's like Midrash, exactly. That's what we call it, Midrash. Look at the Rashi. Mishkav and Moshav. Shachav, o yashav al gabi asara begadim. Zeh al gab zeh. He sat on 10 begadim. Kulan avot atum'ah. Ve'afil lo naga bahim. Ve'eno naga bedavar she'eno mishkav and Moshav. Eno ela rishon. Which means now, let's say Azav touches something. He didn't sit on it, and he didn't lie on it, and it's not an item that's designated for Mishkav and Moshav. Then the item becomes a Rishon. Because he's an Av. Normally an Av makes a Rishon. So the Hiddush of Mishkav and Moshav remains an Av and Tum'ah. That's the difference between Mishkav and Moshav to regular Tum'ah. Let's say he touches something. What's the difference between a Rishon or an Av? A Rishon cannot be metameh adam v'kelim, which means a rishon is metameh ochlim u'mashkim, whereas an avatumah can be metameh adam v'kelim. So it's a big difference if the item becomes an avatumah or a rishon atumah. Okay, let's dashi b'sfirat shvara m'shiyefsok. Once he stops seeing, sarich limnot zayin nikiyim kodem shiyitbol ve'im ra'az zov be'ehad mehem satar kol ha'menuyim, which means he needs 7 straight days without seeing. If let's say on day 4 he saw Zav, he's got to start again. So it's got to be 7 clean days. So now the Gemara wants to know, Mina hane mile, which means, how do we know that when it comes to the Tum'ah, a 2 and a 3 are equal, but when it comes to a Korban, they're not? We want to know, how do you know that difference? How do you know to make a Hiluk between Korban that they're different and Tum'ah that they are the same? So the Gemara says, Mina hane mile, Detan Rabbanan, Rabbi Simai Omer, Mana ketuv shetayim v'karot tameh. Shalosh v'karot tameh. We have 2 pesukim. One pesuk says, V'ish ki ye zav mebesaro zovo tameh. It says in the pesuk the word zav twice. Mm-hmm. Again, V'ish ki ye zav mebesaro, that's one, zovo tameh. So that's the pesuk that we learn, that a person that sees zavu twice becomes tameh. And then we have a pasuk of 3. What's the pasuk of 3? Vezot tiye tumato bezobo, rar besaro et zobo, o echtim besaro mizobo. So we have a pasuk that talks about a zav of 3. And both pasukim call him tameh. Now I ask you a question. If you have a pasuk that says somebody that saw twice is tameh, doesn't it go without saying that somebody that saw 3 times should be tameh. Sure. So the Gemara says, this is Rav Sima saying, Haketzad shetayim letumah v'shalosh korban. There's a difference. Both of them are tameh. The chidush is that the guy who sees twice, he only gets tumah. Whereas the guy that sees three times, he has an additional obligation, not only tum'ah, but korban as well. So that's Reb Simai's answer. And by the way, this is going to be the final answer of Reb Simai. The Gemara is going to ask some questions on it, but keep in mind, this is going to be the final answer of the Gemara. How do we know that somebody that saw a zav of two does not bring a korban, but a zav of three does? Because we have two different pesukim that both calls the zav tameh. If it says it by two, what does it have to say it by three? And that must be including something. That what? The additional chayuv of korban. So the Gemara, who told you? The imar shtayim letum'ah velo lekorban. Maybe you learn like this. This is a very difficult have, Amina, but listen to what it says. Shtayim letum'ah. Maybe a guy who sees twice is tum'ah velo lekorban. Fine. And no korban. Shalosh lekorban velo letum'ah. But maybe when you see three, it's lekorban velo letum'ah. But maybe only korban and not tum'ah. Now, what's the have Amir to say such a thing? A guy sees two, he gets tameh. You tell me a guy sees three, he's not going to become tameh? What's the have Amir to say that? I mean, maybe learn the pesukim like this to get what I'm saying. Shtayim, tum'ah velo korban. Shalosh, korban velo tum'ah. So the Pinei Yeshua over here learns the have Amir like this. It's not talking about the guy. For sure the guy is tameh. Once he becomes tameh with two, when he sees three, he's tameh already. Eli, this is the Gemara Zav Amin is discussing the Zavut itself. The actual emission, because the emission mitame, not the guy. The guy's tame already, once he saw two. And what's the logic? The logic is like this. When a person sees two, that second emission that came out was mitame the guy. So it's powerful, the second emission. So it itself can be tame. But the third emission did nothing to the guy. The third emission, does it make the guy tameh? No, the third emission already is tameh ready. So therefore, there's a havamina to say that maybe the emission itself cannot be mitameh because it didn't do anything to the guy. That's what Pnei Yeshua learns. So to that, the Gemara says, Amart. The Gemara rejects that. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Ad shelo ra'ash shalosh la'ash tayim. Come on. Before you saw three, you saw two. And if two, you were tameh. So therefore, three, so technically, you tell me, it doesn't make the guy tameh. But it would make the guy tameh. Means it's the same zavut. So therefore, for sure, both the two and the three are tameh. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe I'll tell you another thing. The imar shtayim lekorban velo letum'ah, shalosh af letum'ah. Which means maybe learn like this. Maybe shtayim is the korban velo le tum'ah. Build up. I'll tell you, a guy with two, he brings a korban, but he's not tameh. And then three, I'll tell you, not only does he bring a korban, but he also gets tameh. So that's a good law of Amir, because you're building up. The first guy was two, dafka korban he has to bring. No tum'ah, but. I'll say the three, not only does he bring a korban, but he gets tum'ah. So the Gemara says, lo sarkadatach. Now, I wouldn't think such a havamina. Why? The Tanya, because we have a braita. Listen to this pesukim over here. It says, and the Kohen will give the guy kapara mizobo. Keyword, mizobo. What does mizobo mean? From his zav. But the Gemara makes it the nasha on this word. Mizobo, miksat zavin. Mivi'in korban, umiksat zavin en mivi'im korban. Mizovo is like from Zav, meaning some Zavs bring a Korban, and some Zavs don't bring a Korban. Haketzat, la'ash shalosh mevi, shetayim eno mevi. Very simple, which means, therefore, the fact that it says, and the Kohen, by accepting the Korban, will be mechaper mizobo. What does it mean mizobo? Miksat Zavin. Again, what is miksat Zavin? Some Zavs bring a Korban, some Zavs don't. How do you split it up? I'll tell you, a two doesn't, a three does. So we're back to the point again. We proved our point. Everybody's tameh. A two is tameh and a three is tameh. Uh-huh. And you can't even have a minute to tell me a two is tameh and a three is not tameh. No. Two is tameh, three is tameh. And you cannot tell me that two brings a korban without tum'ah and three brings a korban with tum'ah because then everybody's bringing a korban. And that cannot work out because we have a pasuk that says mizobo. And from the Dinashav Mizobo we learn miksat zavin bring korban and miksat don't. And what is that miksat? the two doesn't and the three does. Who told you? Maybe I'll tell you the opposite. Maybe the two brings the Qurban and the three doesn't bring the Qurban. That makes no sense. What do you tell me? To see three, you have to see two. So if you tell me the two brings the Qurban, three has to bring the Qurban. So the only logic is to say is the two doesn't bring and the three does. So basically, if somebody would ask you a question at this point, what is the source of how do you know that what? That a two does not bring a Qurban and a three does? You really have two sources. You have Rabbi Simai. Rabbi Simai said, I have a pasuk of a two zav and it says he's tameh. And I have a pasuk of a three zav and it says he's tameh. What is it needed for? You'll have to tell me that the three brings a Qurban. Second derasha, mizobo, miksat savin bring Qurban, that's the three, and miksat savin don't. So the Gemara says, v'itztarich Rabbi Simai, v'itztarich mizobo. You need Rabbi Simai's derasha and you need the mizobo derasha. Right. The imid Rabbi Simai, because if it was just from Rabbi Simai, hava amina kikushyan, I would go the hava amina like the question that I had. What was the question we had on Rabbi Simai? Maybe I'll tell you that two is not that two brings a korban, two brings a korban and it's not tameh, and three brings a korban and is tameh. Who told you? Maybe I can make the hiluk like that. Kamash malan mizobo. That's why you need mizobo to tell me that what? No. Not everybody brings a korban. Some bring a korban and some don't. The imizobo lo yada'na kamariyot. Now mizobo just tells me some zavin bring, some zavin don't. How many? A two and a three and a four. I mean, I don't know the numbers of how many times. Kamash malan Rabbi Simai to tell me two and three. So basically, Rabbi Simai is the one that gives me the numbers. The haluk is between a zav of two and a zav of three. And Mizovo tells me the haluk between korban. A two doesn't bring a korban, and a three does bring a korban. Very good. So that basically we have two needed sources for the concept of zav of shtayim, lo korban, but yes tumah, zav of shlosh shalosh, yes tumah, and plus korban. Now the Gemara goes on to a new point. The hashta damat Mizovo lidrasha. So we have one pasuk that we had the word Mizovo. So the Gemara is going to say it like this. But once already you're telling me that whenever you see the word mizobo, it's a word that you can make a derasha on it, miksat zavin and all that stuff. So there's another time in the Torah that says the word mizobo. So the Gemara is now going to challenge, what's the derasha on the second mizobo that the Torah writes? V'chi yitara zav mizobo. It says, when the zav will purify himself, mizobo. May darishtbe. Now that's a second, that's a different pasuk. The first pasuk was talking about when the zav brings his korban. Yeah. Now this is talking about when the zav goes to the mikveh. So it says v'chi yitar hazav mizovo. Well, now we know. Once you see the word mizovo, a light goes on. Hey, that's a word that you can make a derasha on, because we made a derasha on a similar word. So the Gemara wants to know, okay, good. How what's the derasha you can make on this mizovo? So the Gemara says ha'hu mivayele lichnetanya. We need it. We have a derasha. V'chi yitar hazav lichshi yifsok mizovo. Mizobo velo mizobo v'nigo. What is this talking about over here? This hadush is like this. We're talking about a person that was not only a zav, but he was also a mitzora. He had zobo and nigo, and he also had a nega. He had a mitzora. He had tzara'at. So now the question is like this. Let's say he counts his zayin nikim. Okay? So technically, he can go to the mikveh and get rid of his zavut. Even though his sara'at is still there. So the question is, well, what are you getting? You go to the mikveh, you still tameh. So the hiddush is, yeah, but bottom line, you can get rid of the zavut. Because now already, I don't have to, there's no tumat mishkav, there's no more shav. So the hiddush is mizobo. That even if the tahara only takes you out of mizobo, velo nigo, it's fine. You can go to the mikveh. As opposed to saying, you know what? What are you going to gain? Wait, the mikveh's got to bring you to tahara. This mikveh's not bringing you to tahara. It's just getting one tumah off. Now look at Rashi. Rashi's on the second wide line. L'chshi yisof mizobo. En sarik litbol kodem sefira, ela m'shi yifsok yimneh. Which means, m'shi yifsok. Once you stop seeing, you go to the mikveh. Now, how can you see the Torah Kohanim? Mizzobov, the Mizzobov, and the Gosh. If I had Zav and Mitzorah. Guy is a double. He's a Zav and a Mitzorah. Upasak Mizzobov, Velo de Trape Adain Minigo. But he didn't heal yet from his Sarat. Vesafar. Now we counted 7 clean days. And Omrim lo en Sefira Zunikiyut. We don't say that the 7 days that he counted are not going to clean him. Achi Yitaher Af Minigo. Ela Mone Veolek Miyat. ועולה לו לספירת זוב וכשיתרפא מצורעתו יתפור מיד תבילה ראשונה של מצורע והיא עולה לו לתבילת נגעו וזובו. Which means like this, he's saying, Rashi's telling you how it works. You can't go to the mikveh when you have tzara'at, but when the tzara'at heals, so then already יתפור מיד תבילה ראשונה של מצורע. So it's like I go to mikveh twice. So your tevilah rishona shel mitzora can count for tevilah rishona shel tzara'at and tevilah shel zov, even though you still got another tevilah pending for your tzara'at. V'hi oleh lo tevilat nigo v'zovo v'netar b'letameh meshkav moshav. What's the benefit? Your benefit is there's no more meshkav or moshav at least. V'netameh kelihares beheset. Zav. If he moves a keli chayres, beheset, he just moves it, even if he didn't touch it. If let's say he touched it, he did the varachayr, but it moved as a result of him, so that way the keli chayres can become tameh. That's a chumrah by a zav. Ve'af al pish sarik l'sfirat shiv'an l'sara'ato. Even though he needs 7 more days for his sara'at, le'anyan achilat kadashim, if he wants to eat korbanot, he's got to go to the mikveh for sarat, ותבילה שנייה כנכתיב במצורה, ולחס במים ותאר, ואחר יבוא למחנה, וישב בחוץ לעולו שבעת ימים, והיה ביום השביעי, גלח את כל שערו, ולחס את בשורו במים. אהרי תבילה כמיתה, the first תבילה will help him, לתארו ולתמי משכב מושב כחס בעשיית. So therefore the idea is even though it's מזובו, ולא מנגעו. Good, let me continue. כמה זה גם אמרה, says, מזובו וספר. New point. The pasuk says, and I quote, "V'chi yitar azav mizobo." When the process of the zav is going to begin, he's going to betayer himself. V'safar, he's going to count. So we have a connection between the word mizobo and v'safar. From the fact that Torah puts these words together, mizobo v'safar, we see that there's a connection. What's the connection? So the Gemara says, "Limed al zav ba'al shtei re'iyot." Shita'un sefirat shiv'a. That's what's telling me, that even a guy that sees two, he starts to count 7 days, which we never proved that yet. We always proved that what? Tum'ah we proved. Qurban we proved. How do you know that a zav of two brings, how do you know a zav of two has to count 7 days? So you know what the answer is? Mizobo v'safar. That what? If a person has a zav, and that's talking about a zav of two, he has to count 7 days. Look at Rashi. Three lines on the bottom. Mizobo v'safar lehachi samak sefira etzul zobo lamedcha she'af b'shvil miksat zav ta'on sefira. Because what does mizobo learn? Miksat zobo. What is miksat zobo? A guy of two. And what does it say? Miksat zov v'safar. So you see, even a two has to count 7 clean days. Good. So again, if somebody would ask you, what's the ayah that a zav of two has to count 7 days? Mizobo v'safar. So the Gemara says, what do you need it for? Gemara says, "Limed azav ba'ashter yot shtaun sefirat shiva." Ve'alo dinu. I'll make a kavah homer and say like this: "Im mitame meshkav u'moshav lo yeh taun sefirat shiva." Didn't we just say that azav of two is mitame meshkav u'moshav? Le'inyan tumah, they're the same. Now, already, once you're telling me it's mitame meshkav u'moshav, that's the most stringent thing. It makes it avat tumah. Of course, it's going to count 7. No, you're going to tell me it has the stringency of Mishkav and Moshav, but it's not going to count 7 clean days? No, you don't have to tell me that. Once already you told me that there's Mishkav and Moshav by a Zav of Shtei Re'iyot, Zayin Nikim is automatic. So the Gemara says, no, not automatic. It's not automatic. Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom Tochiyah. What's a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom? This is a lady. A lady can also become a Zavah. But her Zavut is a little different than a man. Number one, the difference is she doesn't always become a zava. It's only certain days of the month. She can only become a zava in the 11 days following her nida, which means her nida cycle is 7 days, and she finishes nidut, she goes to the mikveh. In the subsequent 11 days between the nidah, that's already those days, if she sees what comes out, that's considered already zavut. So that's the time when a lady becomes a nidah. Secondly, if a lady, let's say, sees 1 day or 2 days, so then she's called a shomeret yom keneged yom, meaning she just has to wait 1 day and then she goes to the mikveh. Shomeret yom keneged yom. She saw on Monday, so all she has to keep is Tuesday, and then she goes to the mikveh and she's already tehora. That's called a shomeret yom keneged yom. Now the law is like this, top line in Gemara, shemetameh mishkav moshav. During that 1 day that the lady's tameh, she's metameh mishkav moshav. Ve'ena tehora sivirat shiva'a. But she doesn't need shiva'a, so it's not for granted. You want to tell me, what do you mean? If it's metameh mishkav moshav, for sure. No, it's not so. I'll show you a case that's metameh mishkav moshav, and there's no zayin nekiyim. And who's that? The shomeret yom. Ve'af ata al tetameh al zeh. Don't be shocked by such a law. Shafapish metam mishkav moshav lo yitaun sefirat shiva'a. Which means you'll come along and say, well, that's what kind of law is that? Now don't be shocked. Which, that is the law. Tamud omar mizobo v'safar. And that's why it's got to tell me mizobo v'safar. Because without mizobo v'safar, I would tell you that a zav of two doesn't have to do zayin nikim, just like a shomeret yom keneged yom. And if I need to tell me miksat zovo v'safar limed al zav v'ashteruyot shetaun sefirat shiva. Because if it wasn't for this derasha, I treat it like a shomeret yom keneged yom. Okay. Amar le rav papa la abaye. Le rav papa tells abaye. Now let's analyze ourselves. So we have two mizovos. We have two mizovos over here. One mizovo told me what? That miksat zavin bring a korban, miksat zavin don't bring a korban. Meaning two miksat zav eno mevi korban. So one mizovo is exclusion. The second mizovo is coming to what? Include. What is it coming to include? It's coming to tell me that what? That mizovo v'safar, that miksat zavin, meaning the two, has to count 7 days. So that's funny, the Gemara is saying. One mizovo is working to exclude a two from korban, and one mizovo is being worked to include a two for zayin nikim. So, you know, how do you have different directions on the same word? Yeah. So the Gemara asks. Amar le papa Abaye, mai shena hai mizobo demarbe be zav ba'al shtei ru'yot. One mizobo is coming to include marbe, that the zav ba'al shtei ru'yot needs 7 days. Umai shena hai mizobo demarbe be zav ba'al shtei ru'yot. But the other mizobo is coming to exclude a zav ba'al shtei ru'yot from korban. How do you take the same word and learn it in opposite directions? One time you're learning it to include, and one time you're learning it to exclude. You understand the question? So the Gemara says, Amar le. So the Gemara says, very simple answer. Isal kadatach, hay limi'utehu de'ata. Which, if you were coming to tell me that the pasuk that tells me, bizovo v'safar, right, so you tell me it's coming to include. If you would tell me that it's coming to exclude, that a zav doesn't need 7 days, a zav of two, lishtok kram mineh, the pasuk did not have to say anything. Which means I would not have thought that a zav of two needs seven. Don't say anything. What does that mean, don't say anything? Look at Rashi. Lishtok kram mineh umehechetiti dan sefirah. Which means, where would I think that a zav of two ri'yot needs a sefirah? Which means the pasuk should have kept quiet. And the default thinking of a person is what? Well, if it doesn't say it, it means it doesn't need it. So from the fact that it says, mizobo legabe sefirah, mizobo v'safar, must be it's coming to include. Because don't say anything. So the Gemara says, v'chi tema atya medina, maybe you'll tell, what do you mean? If it kept quiet, I would have made a kavahomer. I would have said, if it has Mishkav and Moshav, certainly it has Sefirah. So that's not a good logic. You tell me, Let the pasuk keep quiet. If the pasuk would have kept quiet, I wouldn't have known seven. Yes, you would have. I would have said a kavahom in Medina. I would have said that if two has mishkav moshav, certainly it has zayin. That's not so. Shomeret yom kereged yom tochiyah. Then we said shomeret yom kereged yom. It has mishkav moshav, but doesn't have zayin the key. So we're back to the answer. Meaning, the pasuk did not have to say anything. And I would have said, well, without saying anything, no Zayin Nikim. Just like a Shomeret Yom Kedek Yom, that's Mishkav Moshav, and that's Zayin Nikim. But now the Pasuk says, Mizomo V'Safar, must be coming to include. Because if it's not coming to include, just keep quiet. The Pasuk doesn't have to say anything. So the Gemara says, V'chi Tema, Hai Mib'el Mizomo, V'lo Mizomo V'Nigo. So, hold it. We use this Pasuk already. Didn't we learn Mizomo, Mizomo, V'lo Mizomo V'Nigo? Which means the pasuk says mizomo v'safar. So you have connection from the fact that the pasuk mizomo v'safar. I'm touching miksad tzav to two count seven. Hold it, night beautiful then asha. But we use mizomo already. What did we use mizomo for? That for a guy that's a zav and a tzaraat, mizomo v'lo mizomo v'negol. He can dip for his zav even though it's not helping him for his tzaraat. So that's used already. So the Gemara says imken nichtov kera v'chi yitar az zav v'lishtok. I mean, if the pasuk only wanted to teach me the law of seven, it could have said v'chi yitar hazav, and I would have said what zav v'safar, and I would have said that a zav of two has to count mizobo lamali. What's the mizobo? Actually, I take it back. If it just would have said zav, I would have learned the sara'at law. Again, if it would have said like v'chi, the pasuk doesn't say zav at all. By the way, you can just say v'chi yitar. Don't I know we're talking about a zav over here? What's the context of the pasukim? It's just say v'chi yitar. Who are we talking about? So the pasuk should have said like this: v'chi yitar hazav, or to teach me what that the tara, even if it only affects the zav and not the sara'at, what does it have to say? V'chi yitar mizobo. So the mizobo teaches me miksad zav has sefirat. It teaches me that a zav of two has sefirat. Because if it was only teaching me the sara'at, what could it just say v'chi yitar hazav? And definitely made on zav v'shteriyot chitaot sefirat shiva. So then let's review. Let's review outside. Basically, we have a pasuk. The Gemara said one pasuk mizomo is coming to include. Coming to include what? Zayin nikim. One pasuk mizomo is coming to exclude the zav from korban. So the Gemara says, I have no problem. You want to tell me mizomo tells me that a miksat zav has no korban? Beautiful. You're excluding. Then you tell me another pasuk mizobo, including the Zayin Nikim. Well, why? I didn't know it's including. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you very simple. It has to be including. Because the Torah shouldn't have said anything. Don't say anything. If the Torah didn't say anything, I wouldn't include it for seven. I would say no seven. Just like a Shomeret Yom Kedek Yom, as Mishkav Moshav, and no seven. The fact that it said it, must be it's coming to include. So the Gemara says, yeah, very nice. But the Bible, we use it already. Mizobo is useful. Mizobo, velo mizobo, v'nigo. Oh, it's used now. If you wanted to learn the nega, the nasha, it could have just said v'chi yitar hazav. And I would tell me what? That it's possible to meter just from zav and not from tzara'at. From the fact that it says zobo, I learned two things. Number one, zobo v'lo minigo. And number two, miksad zavin v'safar. I have to count 7 days. So that's how we know that comes the Gemara, next Mishnah. Okay, now we go to Mitzorah. Let's just review the laws of Mitzorah now. There's two types of Mitzorah. One is called the Mitzorah Musgar, and one is called the Mitzorah Muhlat. A Musgar is somebody that is confined, and a Muhlat is somebody that is confirmed. What's the difference between a confined and a confirmed? So it's like this. Let's say a person has a skin discoloration on his body. And a Kohen comes to him, and the Kohen looks at it and makes a reading on it. And the Kohen is not certain yet if this item is a full-fledged sara'at or not. So he tells him, well, listen, we got to wait and see if it gets signs, because the sara'at can create signs of tum'ah. It widens, right? Or let's say there's live flesh in the actual sara'at itself. There's some live flesh that's there. There's different simanim that turns white. There's different simanim. So therefore, the Kohen tells him, okay, listen, I'm going to come back to you. You're Musgan now, just stay in confinement. I'm going to wait 7 days. He comes back to Kohen, and he takes a reading on the guy again. He sees that the Sara'at now adopted signs of Tuma'ah, then he makes him a Muhlat. Now you're a confirmed Mitzorah. Originally, that's like the first one, he's like a pending Mitzorah. He's Musgan, we just confine him. But the second one is considered a Muhlat, okay? I'm going to read you the Lashon of the Me'iri. So you hear the interpretations of the Rishon. Mesura Musgar. Who? כשהכהן ראה תחילה ומזכירו לראות אם לסוף שבעה נולדו לו אחד משלושה סימני טומאה. He puts them in confinement to see if it's going to progress into טומאה. רוצה לומר שער לבן, let's say white hair starts to grow out of it, או פיסיון, or it starts to spread, או מחיה, or you have a live flesh in the צרעת itself, ויחליטנו. או אם יחה, well, let's say sometimes it becomes dimmed. It starts to go away. Then the queen, after 7 days, v'yitaharenu. Okay? Or amad bi'inav. Well, sometimes it happens, nothing changes. It stays the same. Then already, v'yisgiro shenit. He puts him in another 7 days of confinement. So you can have 2 weeks of confinement, and then after the second week, he comes along and says either he's ta'or or he is muhlat. So you have a misura musgar and a misura muhlat. Now, what's the difference between the two? So the Mishnah says, "Ein beim mesorah muzgal mesorah muhlat ela piri'a ufrima." Okay, piri'a means he has to let his hair grow. Okay, it's sarat mitzorah. I'm sorry, he has to let his hair grow. Okay, then after the process, he has to shave all his hair. So that's the law of piri'a. When he's a mitzorah, he has to let his hair grow, and the law of pirima. Pirima is he has to rip his clothes. But a minute, like an avil, like a, somebody that's in mourning has to rip their clothes. So does the mitzorah. So the mitzorah muhlat has piri'a pirima. Where Mitzura Muzgar does not. Again, what is Piri'a? Yeah. Letting your hair grow. What is Pirima? Right? Rending the clothes. Ein bin tahor mitoch eskidator mitoch yachlit. Okay, now let's go the other way. The Kohen tells the Muzgar, you're tahor, after 7 days. Or the Kohen tells the Muhlat, he's tahor. What's the difference now in the Tahara process? Ela tiglachat mesipurim. Shaving and bringing the birds. Which means a muhlat that now becomes tahor, he's got to do all the korbanot, whatever it is, plus he's got to shave all his hair, and he's got to bring birds as a korban. Besides the other korbanot that he has to bring birds. Where if somebody becomes tahor from his hisger, he brings korbanot, but he does not have to shave all his hair, and he does not bring the korban of the tzipuri. Okay? So there's a difference between the tum'ah of both of them and the tahara of both of them. Good? Now the Gemara. Abu Gemara says like this: "Hali anyan shiluach v'tumah zev zev shavin." Well, first of all, anyan shiluach. What does that mean? Both of them have to be sent out outside the walls of the city. The Mishnah didn't make a haluk in that. Even a musgar, you got to send them out because he's tameh. So number one, anyan shiluach, a hezger and a muhlat, a musgar and a muhlat are equal. Shiluach chutz lechomat ta'id, outside the wall. And Gabkin then Yan Tuba, which is, learn this rule. Even a Muzgar is Tameh. Don't think the Muzgar is pending, waiting to see if he's going to get a Tameh. Yeah, you're Tameh immediately. Okay? So therefore, the Mishnah says the only Hailuk is Piri'ah and Pirima. But Shiluah and Tum'ah, Muzgar and Muhlat are the same. Good? Now, Yabaran says, Minna Nemile. How do we know this? How do we know that there's no Piri'ah and Pirima by a Muzgar? Again, how do you know a Muzgar does not have to let his hair grow and rip his garments? That's the Gemara's question. Okay? Which means, if you look at the Torah does speak out the law of Piri'ah and Pirima by a Muhlat. But maybe I'll tell you, Huadin be Muzgar. Maybe the Torah just wrote it by a Muhlat, but Huadin be Muzgar. How do you know that a Muzgar does not have the din of Piri'ah and Pirima? Good? So Gemara says, "Detani Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak kamed Rav Huna, v'tiharo haKohen mispachat hi." This is talking about a musgar. The Kohen will come along after 7 days and tell him, "Yataor mispachat." This is just like a skin discoloration. V'chibes begadav. Then he just has to go wash his clothes, meaning he has to put his clothes in the mikveh. V'tahir. V'tahir means, and he is tahor. Now, V'tahir sounds like it's something retroactive. Because if Pasuk would have said V'chibes begadav V'yithar, it's mashma that this man has a certain tahara on him already. V'chibes begadav V'tahir, you're tahor already. How is he tahor already? He's a musgad. Didn't we say musgad has tumah on him? In what sense are you considering the musgad tahor already? So the Gemara says, Tahor mipiri'ah ufirimah deva'ikara. He's Ta'or, meaning he never had the law of Piri'an Pirima on him. Again, when the Pasuk says Vetair, which is a retroactive language, it's saying you Ta'or already. I didn't go to Mikveh yet even. I'm not going to say he's Ta'or. Mm-hmm. No, he's Ta'or from something retroactive, meaning in the past. What is that from? He never had to do Piri'an Pirima. In that sense, he's Ta'or. He never had to let his hair grow, and he never had to rip his clothes. So the Vetair, that's the past language. Otherwise, the Pasuk should have said Vichibes, but the Yitar. Right? I'm Ta'or already. What are you Ta'or already from? Ela from Piri'ah and Pirima. Look at Rashi. V'tiyaru akwein mispachati. See that, Rashi? V'tiyaru akwein mispachati. B'mesura sheba neklal ta'ara mitok esgero. We're talking about over here a muskar. V'lo nechlat, ketiv. V'sefat neklal ketiv v'chipes v'kadav v'tahir. V'delo ketiv v'yitchar l'shnad d'me'ikarau. It's a past tense. Even before he dipped in the mikveh, he's tahor. From what? Mimiksat tumah shel chomer metzora. From some of the chomrot. And what is that chomra he's tahor from? Piri'ah and Pirima. Comes to Gemara, Amar Le'daba. So Rabba says, oh yeah, that's the drasha. Whenever you see the word v'tahir, you go with a retroactive hadush. Okay, good. I'm bringing another question now. Amar Le'daba. Ela me'ata. Gabe zav. Back to the zav. V'chtiv. V'chibes begadav v'tahir. We're talking about a zav now. He goes to the mikveh v'tahir. Hatam mai v'tahir me'ikara ika. Didn't we say a zav ba'al shtei iyot? Even a zav ba'al shtei iyot, isn't he regular tameh? Doesn't he have mishkav moshav? He's not everything. The only thing a zav ba'al shtei iyot doesn't have is what? Korban. But everything else he has. How you learn the word v'tahir over there? Which means, before he dips, before v'chibes begadav, it says by the zav v'tahir. What was he Ta'or from? What was the Zav Ba'al Shtiriyot Ta'or from retroactive when he was a Zav? When you want to say by Mesorah Muzgav V'Tahir, tell me that at that time he was Ta'or from something. Yeah? Well, what is the Zav Ba'al Shtiriyot? What is he Ta'or retroactively from? So the Gemara says, Ela, you know what it means? Ta'or Hashta Militame Kili'eres Beheset. I do shit like this. When does a Zav go to the Mikveh? A Zav goes to the Mikveh, let's say, after 7 days? In the day. And that is Tahor, but he has to wait until the evening. Like he can go to the mikveh during the day. Beautiful. Now let's say he went to the mikveh Tuesday afternoon. Very nice. Tuesday afternoon after he went to the mikveh, he moved the Kili Haris. Okay? At the time that he moved the Kili Haris, he had mikveh. Technically he didn't have any zavut. All of a sudden before nightfall, he got a zavut. A zav came out of him. Hadush is retroactively what he touched between his mikveh and nightfall is tahor. Hadush par Torah. V'tahir means that a keli heres that he moved be'eset after he went to the mikveh, even though he saw after, meaning legabe himself, he's got to start again, the counting. But since he touched the keli heres after mikveh, before he saw, v'tahir, retroactively. Let me read that inside. Ela tahor hashta. Even though he saw again, so apply that same drasha to the mitzvah. Which is like this, a mitzvah. He goes to the mikveh also during the day. Okay? Now he went to the mikveh during the day. Beautiful. Now he's in the house. Right? Somebody brings a keli into the house and the mitzvah is in the house. But it's tahor, right? So now the keli is under the same roof as the mitzvah. Now they take the keli out. Beautiful. Before nightfall, the guy's sarat came back. Do we say now, retroactively, that keli that was under the same house of the mitzvah now becomes tameh? No. V'tahir. Retroactively, I don't say that the kelim that were in the house with the mitzvah become tameh. Since they came in the house after mikveh, well, he was still clean. So therefore, we're back to the question. How do you know a mitzvah muzgar is not subject to piri'ah and pirima? We thought it's from the word v'tahir. That what? V'chibes began v'tahir. He's tahor from something from the beginning. What? Piri'ah, pirima. That doesn't work. Because what is the zav? Tahor from the beginning. Ela no, but the zav you're telling me the tahir is what? Hesed. that if he moves something after mikveh, it's not going to become tameh retroactively. So the same thing of mitzorah. If somebody came into the house with a mitzorah retroactively, it's going to remain tahor even though he became mitzorah after. Oh, so back to the question, how do you know mitzorah musgar is not subject to priya penima? Ela, amar abba mehacha, v'at sarua asher bo hanaga. The pasuk says, and the tsaruah, that the nega is in him. Asher bo hanaga, that has the tsarat in him, he has to let his hair grow, and he has to rip his clothes. That's the end of the pasuk. So the Gemara says, mi shetzaratot tiluyah begufo. When it says bo, what does that mean? It's in his body. Yatsa ze she'en tsaratot tiluyah begufo, ela biyamin. Which means like this. What's the only way a mukhlat can get tahor? He's got to wait till it heals. The mukhlat's got nothing to do with days, by the way. Once a guy's a mukhlat, it can take 6 months for the tzaraat to go away. No days, you got to wait till it heals. A musgar, it's 7 days. Once 7 days comes, the queen gives him a reading, he can go home. Meaning, it's over. He's got to go to mikveh, of course, but the tzaraat itself is over. No, if it doesn't heal, then it becomes a mukhlat. But I'm telling you, a musgar is only dependent on 7 days. A mukhlat is no 7 days. So therefore, this pasuk says this. Vatsaruwa asher bo. From the word bo, what type of tzaraat you think we're talking about? It's bo, it's bigufo. Meaning it's dependent on his body, not dependent on days. So from the word bo, it's mashma, we're talking about a mitzorah mukhlat. And what does it say by the bo? He has to let his hair grow, and he has to rip his clothes. Mashma, only the tzaruwa asher bo hanaga, that the tzaraat is talui begufo, as opposed to a tzaraat that's talui biyamin. Good? So that's Rabba's proof. Amal Abaye, Ela Me'ata. So Abaye comes on and says, oh yeah, you want to start with this derasha? No. How are you going to learn the following pasuk? Kol yemei asher ha-nega bo yitma. Oh. It says all the time that the nega's bo yitma. Now hold on. Didn't we just learn that there's no difference between tum'ah? Whether you're a muskar or a mukhlat, you have tum'ah. Well, based on your bo derasha, I'll tell you. Oh, kol yemei asher ha-nega bo yitma. Mi shetzra'ato til yuha begufo, hu de ta'un chiluach. V'she'en tzra'ato til yuha begufo, en ta'un chiluach. Which means the pasuk says, kol yemei asher ha-nega bo yitma, and it says what? And you have to send them out of the machane. So you're going to tell me what? Only people that have tzara'at mukhlat get sent out of the machane? But if you don't have tzara'at mukhlat, you don't get sent out? Because it says bo? V'chite ma'achin ameh, maybe tell me, yeah, we're consistent. That's the derasha. Says the Akatani end be mitzurah muskar, mitzurah muhlat, ella piriyah ufrima, haliyat shidua v'tuhime b'yadze v'ze shavin. What are you talking? That's against Amishnah. Because Amishnah said the only difference between a muskar and a muhlat is piriyah ufrima. But they both get sent out. Mm-hmm. But according to your board derasha, the board derasha is going to tell me that only the muhlat gets sent out, but not a muskar. Amar le, so he tells him, wait. We have another derasha for that. Yemeh, kol yemeh, Lerabot misora musgar leshiluach. The pasuk says by a mitzora muhlat. It says like this: Kol yeme asher anega bo yitma badad yeshem mechutz lemachane. Says kol yeme. If it wouldn't just said yeme, I would tell you only a muhlat. But kol is coming to tell me even a musgar. So he's telling me like this. You're right. You had a good question. Your question was, oh, it says bo. Bo is only a muhlat. And bo is ta'un shiluach. You're right. But I have another pasuk, by the way, that says kol yimeh. So from the extra kol, it's coming to teach me what? All types of mitzora'im, even a musgar, get sent out. Good. So to that, the Gemara says, that's the bet. Kol yimeh l'rabot b'sa musgar l'shiluach. Might okay. Iache teglachat besipurim. Might ama lo. So what do you tell me? That's maybe also teglachat besipurim then. Which means, didn't we say in the Mishnah that a musgar there's no teglachat? I mean, there's no shaving.
No birds.
And no birds. Who said? How do you know that? Might ama lo. Says diktani en ben tahor mitoch esgel tahor mitoch echled ela teglachat besipurim. Which means, how do you know that? So Amar Rabbeye, Amar Kera, because it says V'yatsa, Kohen Mechutz Machane. It says the Kohen will go outside the Machane. V'hine Nirpa Nega Tzara'at. And here behold, the Nega Tzara'at was healed. which means only a type of tzara'at that needs a healing. And the end of the pasuk says, he shaves his hair and brings a korban of sipurim. Only a type of tzara'at that's still in nifu'ah. Who's that? A muhlat. As opposed to a muzgar, his tzara'at is not depending on nifu'ah, it's depending on days, 7 days, and the grain comes back. It's a 7 day period. So therefore we have another pasuk to mechalek between Teglachat and Sipurim. That's from the pasuk that says, I quote again, "Vinin nirpa negat tzara'at." That's the pasuk that talks about Teglachat and Sipurim. Now let's read Rashi. V'Sipurim. A very important Rashi right before the Mishnah. V'Sipurim. Te'afal gav di'ika korbanot asham velog shemen. You should know, even a musgar has to bring korbanot, by the way. He has to bring a korban asham. He has to bring log shemen. Which means he only doesn't bring sipurim. Don't get confused. A mesurah musgar also has to bring korbanot, by the way. We're only discussing the sipurim that he doesn't have to bring. But the other stuff, the korban asham, the log shemen, even a musgar brings. So let's just quickly review the outcome of our Mishnah. You have two types of mesuraim, a musgar and a muhlat. We would say a musgar, his lifu'ah, his cure is dependent on what? Days. Mash'ek and a muhlat, his cure is dependent on curing. He's got to go away. That's one thing. We would also say that the muhlat is called misha tzara'ato bo, because it's in his talui bigufo. Mash'ek and a musgar, it's not talui bigufo, it's talui in yamin. Okay, so that's number one. Now let's discuss the halakhot that come out of it. A musgar and a muhlat, both of them are tameh. Fact. There's no haluk between the tum'ah. That's clear. They both are tameh. And what? They also are both are ta'un shiluah. We learn that from the extra drasha, kol yemeh. Pasuk is saying kol yemeh to even include a mesurah musgar for shiluah and tum'ah. Beautiful. But what? There's not going to be piri'at pirima by a musgar. How do you know that? So, Abaye tried to bring a derasha from the word vetahir. We rejected the vetahir derasha from the question that we asked by Zav. So Rabbi came along and he brought his derasha from the pasuk vetsarua asher bo hanaga bo mishetzarato talui begufo. He's got to do piri'a pirima. Mashenk and the musgar, no. So to that, Abaye asked a question. If that's the case, if you're going with the bo derasha, it says also bo for shiluah. No, for shiluah, I have an extra derasha of kol yemeh. Good. How do I know teglachat sipurim? No, by a muskar, because the pasuk says v'yatsa kohen mechutz lemachane v'nin nirpa negat tzara'at. Only a mitzurah that is refuah, that is healing, is depending on refuah. He's got to have teglachat v'sipurim. Masha'enker a muzgar that his refuah is not dependent on healing, it's dependent on days. He doesn't have teglachat v'sipurim.